So this land is your land. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island. They weren't talking about Chris Reed. They were my, the redlining showed me they weren't talking about me. The right. Trail of Tears showed me they weren't talking about us. That right. was for a subset. And what they're trying to do is make sure we remember that, hey, don't get it twisted. When they said this the land of the you. Free, the right. land of the free, they weren't talking about you. It's so, and that's the toughest part, is that we've been taught that these things meant Americans. And we know that we're American, but now they're trying to say, not you.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor, and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
We are coming to you live from the new BEP studio for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, safe space discussing all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm Crispy Reed, and we're here to tackle the real, the raw, and often uncomfortable truths shaping our world. No fluff, no filters, just bold conversations on issues that matter. From power to politics, to culture, corporate America, we're breaking it all down live here with you without holding anything back. So buckle up for the next hour, and let's get into it.
Buddy, definitely let's get into it, because we got a couple things we got to dive into today, right? That's tripping. I mean, it's amazing that we got to even talk about these things in 2025. But Chris and I are going to dump right into, I know you guys probably heard it, maybe you haven't, the Coast Guard's whiplash of a week, walking back a policy they tried to rebrand regarding the noose and the swastika as merely divisive. However, public outrage forced a reversal. Absolutely. But the bigger question remains here. What does it say about the country when institutions start massaging the language around hate? All right. And then we got to definitely talk about this. Ken Burns' new documentary on the American Revolution, which I've been watching, and it's fantastic, right? But some people are labeling it as woke. I mean, you're kidding me here. History woke, right? So, I mean, that's all you're talking about is history. So, look, we're going to dive into this, but this really is about a national gut check. So we're looking for you to join this conversation as we break down the signals, the stakes, and the truth underneath it all. So, buddy, how you been doing?
I've been doing all right. You know, this was something that came up, and it was interesting to me. And I understand the idea of semantics and things of that nature, but when you start purposely putting taxpayer dollars and interest and time, because think about this, a lot of this stuff was going on while the whole government was shut. Like, we had other stuff to be worried about. Yet somebody's job description was to make sure we change the nomenclature to get this stuff declassified or reclassified. I'll say to be dropped down or demoted to not be what it actually is or what it was intended to be. Unfortunately, when people adopt symbols, and it becomes the known thing. Think about the construct. I'm going to go back historically. The construct of paper money. The only reason paper money is the value that it is because people agreed that's what it symbolized. This piece of paper with this on it symbolized this amount of value, this level of dollar worth, or whatever the case may be. When that is part of history, that's part of how we communicate, that's part of economics, that's part of how we understand things. Once symbols are co-opted or adopted, good, bad, or indifferent, we could talk about a myriad of different things that symbolize things. But once that becomes part of the culture, part of how people see things, that's what it is. And it's, man, we've had controversy over the rainbow and everything else, but once it's established, that's what it is. We can't just start saying, we don't think it's that bad.
Right, right. So let's do this. Let's bring everybody up to speed, because let's not assume that everybody is on the same page in terms of what's going on. So let's dive into it, and then let me hear your thoughts.
An about face on, of all things, swastikas and nooses. The Washington Post reporting Thursday that the Coast Guard would no longer classify swastikas and nooses as hate symbols. Then came that about face. Scripps News national correspondent Alex Miller has been following the quick changing developments on this story. And Alex, what exactly happened here?
Yeah, Del, it's been a whirlwind of 24 hours with this story because we learned yesterday through the Washington Post that there was new language put out by the Coast Guard that would no longer classify swastikas or nooses as hate symbols. Of course, we know swastika is a symbol of fascism, something that you can attribute to the murder of Jews, as well as the fact that we fought against the Nazis in World War II, and of course, nooses, a symbol of lynching Black Americans. And so, of course, this was something that the Washington Post brought to the forefront.
This had to come from somewhere. Start there, okay?
Yeah.
Whom does this benefit, and who was complaining? Who said, give it to me.
No. So number one, buddy, this is part of a strategy. So okay. This didn't just happen last night. Let's change it.
Okay. Right.
Ever since January 20th of 2025, they've been rolling back, or at least in their thought processes, we want to get rid of anything as part of which they call DEI.
Okay.
This is part of it. Okay, it's just, think about it for a second, bro. You've been, but hear me for a second.
Okay.
You've been Six Sigma, you know, you talk about it all the time, right? This and that, right? Yep. And so a company of 25,000, company of 100,000, company of 200,000, it's a big company, right? And so when you sit down and with the C-suite and you come up with a strategy to be able to say, we're gonna do change management, okay? And, you know, one of the favorite things I always say, you know, one of my favorite sayings I learned a long time ago is how to eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Absolutely.
Okay. So at the end of the day, the goal is to change the whole organization. Mm-hmm. But you can't snap your fingers and just do that. So you go here, then you go here, then you go here, then you go here. So we're in November 2025, and now they're trying to change this from the Coast Guard, right? But this was part of the plan back in January 20th, okay? It's just finally getting to this, all right? So this ain't nothing. This was always part of the plan, okay? And there's other pieces that we don't even see yet that's going to come up. Right. But it's not based on somebody waking up one day and say, oh, we got to do this. This is, buddy, this is all. So think about it for a second. A few months ago, we were screaming when they erased Jackie Robinson and the NOLA gay because of the words and all that. And then people start screaming like, oh, that was a mistake. OK, this is no different. This is all part of it. Right. You got to let's even back up. My man came in office, and I'm not going to even say his last name. I'll say, like Dr. Nasinga Burton says all the time, 47.
Okay, you're right.
47 comes into office. We had a tragic airline crash.
Yep.
Maybe a week and a half after he started, something like that. I forget the dates, right? At Washington Reagan Airport, a military chopper runs into a plane, right? What does Trump say? What does 47 say immediately? This is DEI. All right. No, I'm sorry of the family. None of that. So, buddy, right off from the day one, this is part of the strategy. Okay. And so it's just getting, buddy, I'm just saying, I'm answering your question. This part is just coming up because you got to recognize, what was it, a month ago when we had Pete Hegseth doing the
military
to the generals and what did he say? What did he say? Okay. And we spoke about it, right? And so all these things were part of the major strategy, but they're all being rolled out. They're just, okay, we got to get to this piece first and we'll do this and we do this and we do that.
The concept of the United States of America being non-diverse, inequitable, and non-inclusive. Because that's what you're saying these letters, and people are glossing over it. Those letters mean diversity, equity, and inclusivity. Like, that's what that means. So imagine the melting pot. You can't have one without the other. You can't raise the flag of we're the melting pot, we're the bastion of liberty, and we're exclusionary. We're non-diverse. that come on.
Buddy, you're so, look, man, you... You speaking the truth. However, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I'm not going to tell you his name. Matter of fact, I'm going to send him this because we had this conversation. He's out in on the West Coast, and he's a chairman of a big organization. Okay. And is it all black? I think it is. It's all black organization. He's a chairman. Okay. And we were chatting yesterday, and he said, Tony, think about it. He said, look where we've come. 5 years ago, you had companies, because of the George Floyd thing, come out and start saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and equity and all this. And then 5 years later, they've turned three words into the most hated words imaginable. And people don't even recognize the name. Because when you say diverse, remember my boy, Dr. Will? Remember when he was on the show and he said, look, man, he said, I grew up out here in California, right? And at the end of the day, we have Long Beach, California, right? That's which right. is prime property. Okay. But what did we do? We shortened it, called it the LBC. Yep. All right. And by shortening it, calling the LBC, we took the value away from it, because anytime you have beach property, it's valuable, right? And so when you start saying LBC, all of a sudden, the value of that beach property became, it decreased, okay? And so what did they do? They had to change it back to Long Beach, right? So Mike, to your point, is that they've taken three words, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that a Martian comes here, lands, okay? And you say diversity, equity, hey man, welcome. You're a nice day on Earth, you know, diversity, equity. Who would get mad at those three words? Right. But they've weaponized them, where even people don't even know what it is. Just to, I think you said this when we, not a couple episodes, a couple of shows ago, when you said, hey, they've turned the word DEI to mean black and brown people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Right? That's what it means. Doesn't mean people that came here from Ireland, that came from Scandinavia, that came, all these other nationalities, which is diverse, that are not native born. It don't mean that no more. It means black and brown people. Right? And so now with this situation, it's now, and let's back up a second, right? Because let's dive into a little deeper, right? United States, so November 2021, United States Coast Guard announced it had reversed a policy change that would have reclassified symbols like swastikas and noose from hate symbols to potentially divisive symbols. Okay, this initial redefinition has triggered a major backlash from lawmakers, civil rights groups, and service members who argue the downgrade would weaken the meaning of explicit hate. Now, I'm going to throw it back to you. I said this is a strategy thing, but why do you think that they soften the, it's a potential hate thing. Why do you think they said potential?
So that way the repercussions of the utilization of these things or the association with these things is lessened. But you said it earlier, Tony. You said from a corporate perspective, you have a large corporation. Things not only don't happen in a vacuum, but they have to go through checks and balances, levels and layers. How did this get to the light of day? This should have never made it to me. You know what I'm saying? Some stuff that should have never made it to me. You talk about in back rooms and clandestine meetings and stuff like that. Somebody should have said, hold up, why?
They want their base to see that, hey, this is what we're doing. That's who they're speaking to. They ain't talking to you. They're not talking to me.
Okay.
They're talking to their base.
I got you.
They want them to see, we're getting rid of this shit. See, right. We're going to, that's who they're talking. So to your point, this ain't no checks and balances. This is, we're rolling it back. All right. And at the end of the day, if people, look, it is a litmus test too.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So, yes, so what's the litmus test? Same thing when they did with Jackie Robinson, they took him off. Okay. And then when people start screaming, then they're like, oh, my bad. It was a mistake. You see what I'm saying? But had people not started screaming, it would have left it. And it's the same thing here. Right. They did this. And then as soon as people start screaming, then they're like, oh, we got to die. So, but if nobody screams,
right?
Okay. Right. Then it will stay the same.
The problem with this, Tony, is they do this. They make these maneuvers. Then they fall back or reverse it or bring it back and act like they did you a favor.
but that's what you call it, gaslighting. That's you know, that's gaslighting, right? It's the ability to, again, man, when you're trying to overwhelm people, and this is the thing, it's the shock and awe strategy, right? Is that we hit them with so much, we overwhelm them. Eventually, they start doing what?
They start, first of all, they start missing things, right? Stuff slips through the crack. And then they get exhausted.
They just let stuff slide, right? Absolutely. So they're not on top of things like they used to, right? Absolutely. So then when you get them like that, you can start implementing anything because then there's less people saying what you doing, okay? And so that's that, buddy. And here's the thing. Let's go back to how you kicked this off because you said, Tony, symbols matter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's look at some of the, what, you know, why these things, right? A swastika or a noose, isn't just divisive. It carries what? Generations of trauma and power. Okay. If you hung, and see, this is the thing people don't, I put it this way. They get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it on purpose. Right. And, but the average, what's that old saying? We talk about it all the time, right? Is that if it doesn't affect you, you're talking about what you're talking about.
Right.
Well, it's just a swastika. It don't mean Absolutely. Nothing. Stop. What are you talking? They would hang nooses up outside your house.
Absolutely.
They ain't got to say nothing. You come outside your house. No language, you see a noose. There's no language. The symbol tell you what time it is.
Yep.
Right? The symbol tell you, we hanging your ass. We coming for you. It's just a matter. Right. This, you a Jewish person, you see somebody putting a swastika up in your neighborhood. What? There's no words underneath it. You just see the swastika, and then that lets you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro. You want to say something?
Afford me this opportunity for people who just don't get it.
Okay? Go ahead, buddy. Throw down this BEP lie.
Imagine an image of an American flag on fire. How do you feel? Do you feel like someone is against you? Imagine a decapitated Statue of Liberty. Just a picture. It's just a picture of a decapitated Statue of Liberty. How do you feel? Imagine a bald, for the sake of this week, imagine a bald eagle getting carved up at Thanksgiving. Okay? How do you feel? There, it elicits a feeling of disrespect, of separation, of divisiveness. It means that you don't respect my feelings, my heritage, my traditions, all these things matter. I'm going to tell you one quick story. I went to visit my buddy in my 20s. He was stationed at Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas. I'm driving around the military base. Not sure what time it was, but the moral of the story is the horn starts.
You had to get
blaring.
Out. You had to get out. Yeah.
Stop.
Everybody,
I didn't know.
Stop.
I
the didn't car stops. Tony, the roll. Everybody stops.
Explain it. Explain to the people.
Buddy,
explain
when you're in the military, it don't matter. You're in the military at 5 o'clock on any post in the United States.
Yep.
At 5 o'clock, they're letting the flag down. So you're going to hear a cannon go off, boom, okay? And wherever you are, okay, if you're walking down the street, if you're driving in the car and you hear that cannon, boom, right? You stop, you get out the car, you stand at attention,
yes,
towards where the flag is or towards where the sound is, and you stand there until they bring the flag down, then you go about your business. And if you don't do that, that's your ass.
Yes.
All right? That is a fact. Okay? So, because but it ain't a symbol. It's a respect. It's
thank you.
And see, that's where people don't get. Because, when we first come in the Army, we're like, what are you talking about? We got to do that. Blah, blah, blah. Right? But at the end of the day, there's people that died for that flag.
That's right.
There, what, you know, what was the flick, The Flags of Our Father? You ever seen that movie?
I didn't see that.
Oh, man, you never saw that movie?
Mm-mm.
Buddy, really good flick. But net net, the symbol of Iwo Jima.
Okay.
Where they have the soldiers like trying to put the flag up. You've seen that statue.
I have. Yeah, it's where it's leaning and everybody's
trying to push it up, right?
Yeah.
People saw that back in World War II. That came, the dude took a picture of it, right? Okay. And they're like, wow, our people are fighting. You know, we're pushing back. We're fighting America, the Americans. And they're like, we can't let this flag fall. All right. Come to find out, that's not how it happened. These guys were putting up a flag and they were leaning back and they came over. It wasn't a battle going on.
Okay,
all right.
Okay,
it was no battle. But when you see it, you think it's a battle, right? But it was no battle. And so they were trying to put this flag up where this area where they at, and they were having troubles getting it to stand upright. So these four people, these four soldiers got together, and this news photographer happened to be there, and he took the picture of when they were trying to push it up, and they were all leaning to try to push it up. And he sent it back to the United States, and people in the United States went crazy, okay? Yeah. And so what did they do? They took those four people, those four soldiers, and they took them out of the battle, and they had them go back to the United States, okay, to sell war bonds, right? Because they were in the picture. Nobody knew that it wasn't a live battle. Everybody thought it was a battle. And so some of them had an issue with it because it really wasn't a battle, right? And that their buddies were actually still fighting in World War II, dying, right? Where they get to come out because of this picture. Right, buddy, it's a great, and it's these are facts, it's not made up. Right. This is what happened, right? So, back to your symbol point, people went off, okay? Because when they saw that picture, right, buddy, they were so proud. And what happened? They started giving money out of their pockets because the United States was broke. This is the only way they could be able to fund the war, right? So, they used that picture. And they got those four guys to come back, and they would go across the country, right, doing shows, and people would go crazy. I mean, buddy, they sold out Soldier Field, they all over, and people would give money because it made them so proud and of being American, and more importantly, it made them feel like our people are fighting, and they would not let the flag fall.
Right.
Going back to that symbolism.
Absolutely similar. And you've been in advertising for many years. You've been an ad exec. The issue though here is, and you said this earlier, Pete Hegseth, right? For as long as I can remember, and I thought about this, no more than anything else, especially pre-modern TV and the internet, our military are our international ambassadors. More people have met Americans because of military stations and military duty internationally.
Correct.
Than any other way. As far as handshake, face-to-face, the symbolism of America is the military. Correct. When we start having our military diminish some of these things, because he was talking, military, we're not going to have any women, we're not going to have any fat people, when you start trying to shape this this master race in the military, and how it displays to the world, these are our ambassadors. These are our international ambassadors. It's a slippery slope. Like you said, it's a bigger picture going on here than what we're giving credit to. And we have to push back at all times.
There's no question. Let's dive into this a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, people are like, what are you talking about, this and that? I remember, was it last week or the week before last when me and Mark was on? The week before last.
2 weeks ago.
And we were talking about 50-year mortgages, right?
Yeah.
Somebody commented, like, where'd you get that lie from? You know, I've been in the industry for so many years. I never heard of that. And I was like, I sent them, I said, bro, then guess what? You're misinformed. You're not staying on top of your industry. And I sent them a link to the Wall Street Journal. Right? What are you talking? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So just so, because there are people, oh, these guys make it. So let's dive a little bit deeper.
Show you the two different documents that they put forward in their reporting. First, look at the language in 2023 that we saw. First of them, that one says that those symbols would constitute a potential hate incident. It includes a noose, a swastika, supremacist symbols, Confederate symbols or flags, which, by the way, are still banned, and anti-Semitic symbols. Then when you look at the language put forward yesterday in November 2025, they were listed as potentially divisive symbols that include or but are not limited to the noose, swastika, and the like. So you can see that the language changed just so slightly, but there was a lot of concern there because they were not deemed necessarily to be a hate crime, hate incident, if somebody were to display that imagery.
The devil's in the details. That's how they get you. As a contract person for years and years, look, circle ands, underline ors. That's, you know what I'm saying? Circle all ands and underline all ors, okay? Because that's how they get you. I'm glad somebody was on their P's and Q's and caught that. Because imagine the stuff that's not caught, Tony.
Well, here's the thing, though. So that's the other thing that people have to understand, right? The Washington Post broke this story, okay? And so, you know, all these fake news or this and that, these companies are doing what their job is. You talked about checks and balances. That's what journalism is about. Right. So they're the ones why you're sleeping and I'm sleeping, or we're, you know, taking, you know, we're at work or we're eating breakfast. They're the ones that's looking at the P's and Q's or holding people accountable. So we don't have a free press that's actually looking under the hood and looking under the rug. Right, buddy. We would have been, I'll be honest with you, there would be a million, we wouldn't even, this society would not be where it is today. Because absolutely, there would have been a lot of crooks. Matter of fact, absolutely, it would have burned down. Because absolutely, there would have been things that would have happened that nobody would have known about. That would have put us in harm's way. All right? And we would have, and it would have been bad for the country and for everybody, man. So you have to have, going back to your checks and balances, you have to have organizations that hold people accountable.
That level of accountability was the theme of last week's live with the ladies, where they said, where is the accountability? Where is it? Where the freedom is under attack. The press is under attack. If anybody says anything, even if they bring facts to it, it's just called fake. It's just called, you know, leftist. I mean, it's just so called true. Radical. And so you true. Diminish the truth itself. I mean, it's 1 + 1 = 2, and it's like, that's not always true. No, it is always true. It's been proven throughout time, but you tell people things enough. This is propaganda. If you tell people, especially feeble-minded, weak people, and if you feel like I'm talking to you, I am. Feeble-minded, weak people accept anything at whatever the narrative that they want to reinforce comes at it as opposed to doing the checks and balances, or like you said with my man, the mortgage guy. No, that ain't true. It isn't. Is
think
that?
Of, bro. I was just about to go to that. Think of that for a second, bro. Think of that. He took the energy to call, say, you guys lie. I've been right in this industry. I've never, instead of going and looking himself.
Double clicking. Double left click.
For himself, right? He going to sit back and say, where'd you get this lie from? All right. I've been in this industry. I've never heard them say anything like, and I'm looking, I just said, buddy, number one, I said, thank you for your perspective. Number two, you must not keep up on your industry. All right. And then I sent them the link to the article. Okay. Right. And so, but there you go. Years ago, people would have looked up the stuff first before they start calling you and saying this and that. Well, let me make sure. Maybe I missed something. There's none of that now. Right. Mm-hmm. Anything that's being said, it has to be a lie. Right. Because I didn't know about it or anything like that. Here's the other thing I want to get into this, though, bro. Mm-hmm. And let's keep it to the Coast Guard, because this was in the Coast Guard, right?
Okay, yep.
And they softened the language. Mm-hmm. Potential hate symbols. Potential. Mm-hmm. Now, we know in the Coast Guard, just like in the Navy and the Army and the Marines, there are Black people, there are Jewish people, there are Asian people, there are Hispanic people, soldiers, I should say, in every one of those branches. Thank you, bro. Mm-hmm. Right? So think about it for a second. And then we know also that there are people that are in those branches, a minority of them, but they're not open to the diversity in their ranks. Mm-hmm. All right? And so you're basically saying that one soldier can put a noose in another soldier's barracks, and potentially that means nothing.
Means nothing.
You can say that another soldier can draw a swastika in another soldier's room, and potentially it means nothing. A Jewish person's room, I should say. It potentially means nothing. That's, you see my point here? Yes. So not only are you you're also putting your own soldiers in harm's way.
You know this from being a soldier. The one thing that keeps you alive and the unit going and the country sustainable is trust.
Correct.
I can't show up to a division, a barrack, an infantry, a cavalry, anything, and my commanding officer has a swastika tattooed on his neck.
But I can't do it.
Like, what?
I mean, and he's supposed to get over it.
Rick.
He's supposed to look past
Tony,
that. He's not looking at that. Or the captain of the platoon started to come out with a noose and said, hey, guys, you know, you want to go have a drink after work? You know what I'm saying? And I'm supposed to sit there and say, yeah, Sarge.
It doesn't work this way.
And then if you say something like, what are you talking about? It's just a noose. What are you talking? It's just a swastika.
You're being sensitive.
And so you see, these are the things, bro. But back to your question, they don't care.
Right.
It's about, let me show our base that we, this, because we've been saying this is nonsense a while ago, right? And so that's the issue. Now, let's even take it to the next level, okay? Because it's not just about what's in the Coast Guard with the swastikas and the nooses, right? Which is in 2025. It's also about,
as many of you know, this week, Ken Burns' long awaited documentary on the American Revolution has been airing on PBS. And I know many of you have seen it. Many of you have been looking forward to it. And, I have made the mistake yet again of going to social media, and I've been interacting with people, many of them prominent people with a lot of followers, who have been letting their thoughts be known about the series and what they think it is doing wrong. The word I see being thrown around a lot is, of course, woke. I see DEI being thrown a lot out there, things like that. So I felt like this was a good time for us to have a chat, to have a talk about this. I make no secret of my own biases and things of that nature, but I also make no secret of the fact, over and over and over again, if there's one thing I harp on when I'm talking about history with the folks in this community, it's that history is never, ever, ever black and white. It's nuance. It's shades of gray. We want to make heroes and villains out of people. We want to make good guys and bad guys. And most of the time, that's just not the case. And that's true with this story. The main complaint that I'm seeing is that a number of people seem to take exception with the amount of time that is being focused on issues with Native American tribes, particularly the Iroquois, the Cherokee, the Shawnee, the Delaware, others. I've had people tell me it's a side quest and it distracts from what's important. It distracts from the real story, which is the Patriots fighting for independence against the British. And I'm here to tell you right now, if you think that that's the only story of the Revolution, then you're missing a massive, massive chunk of why the Revolution happened in the first place and how the Revolution was fought and what the settlement afterwards meant. You cannot separate issues with Native Americans and issues with the enslavement of African Americans. You cannot separate those issues from the Revolution because they are at the core of why the Revolution was fought, of how it was fought, and in what happened afterwards.
We talked about this, or we touched on this earlier, in the fact that this was all started because of a union, a more perfect union, right? So in this area of division, when we all began because of equity, inclusion, and unity as it related to unifying, See, what people don't understand about history and the 13 colonies, they weren't united. These were 13 separate colonies. Go ahead.
But here's the thing, though, bro. Have you watched any of it?
I haven't checked out yet, no.
So, Chris, buddy, I'm telling you, watch it, okay? I'm on episode 3, okay? And so I've watched it, and I know what... So here's the thing, bro. But go back to your point. Mm-hmm. How did DEI get into the American Revolution? Right. See, this is my point here.
Right.
Okay? It's now. Real hit. Buddy, when you watch it, it is so on. These guys, this is not... Buddy, when you watch it, there's not a stone that's unturned. Mm-hmm. This is shit that's written. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they do a fantastic job. Matter of fact, I've learned so much. Mm-hmm. Chris, I'm telling you, and I'm telling everybody out there, you need to watch this. Because what he just got finished saying is true. And the thing, and I, buddy, and not just that part, but just the, like, one of the narrators, and this is not actors. So these not actors and shit like that. This is real, buddy. It's really good. But the thing is this. I remember one of the historians said, they said, the American Revolution, the violence in the American, when you see pictures of the American Revolution, you see them in Philadelphia signing the paperwork, and then you don't see the, and she's broken down, you don't see the violence all the things that buddy, you learned so much. And the thing, he hit it on point. You cannot take the Native American and the African American out of it, because that is, buddy, like, I give you one example. The colonists wanted to keep expanding to the West. Okay, but they were moving, they kept moving into Native American land. And so a Native American's going off. Like, oh, hell
as they,
no.
As they should have.
And this, right, as rightfully so. And then King George came down and says, no, we got to keep them separate. So he put an edict saying that they could not move west because of the Native Americans. Now, he didn't do that because, hey, I love the Native Americans. He was just like, hey, look, we ain't ready to deal with this yet. And the only way to stop these type wars is that we got to come up with a demarcation plan. And we do not, and the Americans like, oh, hell no, we want to start expanding, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that's a real story. All right, not only that, some of the Native Americans ended up fighting with the British.
Absolutely.
Okay, so most people don't know that. I mean, buddy, it's really, really good. And for somebody to call it woke, and see, this is my point. 10 years, when you talked about the American Revolution, would the word woke come up? No. With the word DEI come up? See, these things are invented. You see my point in talking about web. Now, anything you do that doesn't show pure whiteness,
thank you.
Okay, it's woke. Okay, it's woke, or it's DEI. And so, like he said, oh, we just want to talk about the patriots and what. You can't just, and that shows the ignorance to where people are in the lack of history that they don't know.
The concept of I need for the people that I associate with to be pure, good guys. And I need for, if they did something bad, it was with good intentions. And if they did something horrific, it was with good intent. It was with our best interest collectively in mind. It wasn't capitalistic. It wasn't racist. It wasn't a fascist. It was, he called her piggy, but... At least he was honest. Like, his intentions were pure, and that's why we like him, because he's candid. What the hell are we talking about?
Hold on, not only that. Hold on. If you go to work, if you're at work, and there's a female leader saying, hey, guys, what about this? We'll get to you later, piggy. How long are you going to have that job? Okay? That's just common sense. Okay?
Well, matter of fact,
would you want your daughter, right? And again, I don't want to digress to that. My point is this. Going back to your point about what you were just saying, let me just tell you this other point. Yeah. One of the things that I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm like, it's amazing. Talking about hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Where George Washington and John Adams and all these guys saying King George wants us to be their slaves. Why they got slaves? You see them saying? And at the end of the day, they were like, we can't be, if we don't do this, we're going to end up being their slaves, and we can't have that. So at the end of the day, you don't want to be their slaves, but you want to have slaves.
You know it's bad,
buddy,
right?
Buddy.
You when know you, how it feels. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. When you, and but that's woke. Right. I mean, it is what it is. So you want to hear the whole story. Okay, yeah. Versus this watered down, you know, Thanksgiving, which is my favorite holiday, but everybody got together and cut up a turkey, and these guys were the good guys, and everybody else was bad, and this everybody. And that. Stop! Learn the real hit. And if you know anything about Ken Burns, because I've watched a lot of his documentaries, he flips over every rock, all right? He ain't trying. He's just telling you like it is. But unfortunately today, if you start telling people exactly what it is, it's got to be an angle now where it's woke or it's this and it's that. And if this documentary had came out in 2019, the word woke would have never, ever been associated with it, okay? But since after George Floyd, that's now all of a sudden this word woke in DEI or the pilot, I hope he's qualified. If he's a black pilot, I hope he's qualified. And all these things, all right? Which are just within the last 5 years. But at the end of the day, people have been teaching the history of the American Revolution for long, but then never came up, right? But now it's an issue.
Mm-hmm. But the fear is when you start to educate the masses, kind-hearted people will feel empathy. And unfortunately,
yes. That's a good point.
When we talk about this every episode, we end every episode. Which make sure that you embrace empathy, because when you learn about other people and their plight and the things that they may have gone through or the things that the system is set up to perpetuate, you then have the ability to say, wait a second, that's not right. I was ignorant and now my eyes are open. And there is the fear, that level of empathy that could be created by the truth will make a kind-hearted person, a genuinely good person. But as long as they're ignorant, as long as they don't know any better, they're on your side because they didn't have a choice. When you give information as a choice, you create empathy, and that's where the fear comes in. That's why they whitewash, pun intended. That's why they're whitewashing a lot of this history and changing a lot of these things and moving things out of museums and that type of stuff, because if you do better when you know better. And if you don't know better, you can never do better as it relates to being inclusive and diverse.
Well, and I think to your point though too. So number one, you made an excellent point. It's an excellent point, right? So we want to keep people ignorant, right? We don't want them to know the real thing, because to your point, then we can't tell the narrative that we want to tell, right? And since we can't tell the narrative, then so we got to discredit it. And again, we go back to that clip. What did my man say? Hey, I see a lot of prominent people with a lot of followers telling their people not to watch it because it's woke, right? So they want you to stay ignorant, because if you watch it too, and you, buddy, what you just got finished saying was right on point. If you watch it, then they can start questioning what they was told, okay, and what they was taught. And then when you start questioning that, then the people who's trying to keep them in bondage or stay in power, they can't have, they can't have people saying, well, wait a minute, you said it was this way, but it really not that way. That's why they didn't want slaves to read. Absolutely. Because if a slave could read, then they would be like, this shit ain't right. All right, this don't make sense. And now they're questioning versus just taking orders, okay? Because if they're questioning, you can't control them. Even if you say don't do it, eventually that seed will continue to grow, okay? And now you can't control them.
Right, absolutely. And that's, but it's a tale as old as time. It's not just an American tale either. Like I said, feudalism in England was based off of, if they knew the laws, then they could buck against when we're doing having them do something illegal. If they know what they should be paid, then they can buck against the wage. If they know, Chris, what we know, they will be more like us. And that's not what we want.
Hey, buddy, that's why I said watch it. You would eat it. You would love it, right? It's so expansive versus, mm-hmm. like you said, the 13 colonies and the regular story and this and that, whole nine yards. It's way more expansive than that, and rightfully so, because there was multiple issues. It wasn't just the Tea Party that people start going off, all right? There was multiple. And then they talk about the loyalists, the people that were like, what you talking about? We need to stay with King George and all that. And then they talk about how they start shooting them and locking them up. All right. And buddy, it goes deep into all of it. It's really, really good, man. I mean, and I watch it with the closed caption on it because I don't want to miss anything. And then I rewind it because I love to learn about these things. Right. And so at the end of the day, hearing the real truth, that doesn't sully me against this country's messed up or we this and that. It's just the truth. It's the history. Not only that, it showcases which people need to know. And this is probably one of the reasons why people don't, you know, they're trying to get people not to watch because it's woke, because it shows it's not just about white people. Okay. This country wasn't just built by white people. Okay. And that's the issue. Right. This country was a lot of different people. Right. The Native Americans were here. All right. And that, buddy, and it just when you and again, I recommend that everybody watching our show or listening to our show take the time, even sit with your kids, have your kids watch it. It now, does it show the symbolism of America and, you know, the ideas, even though we don't live up to those ideas, but the idea, all men were created equal, right? And at the same time, you got slaves, right? But that the idea, so, but you can't take away the idea part. You can't take away that, you know, eventually, buddy, it's really good because eventually a lot of people was against it. Breaking away from Great Britain, from the British. But then when my man wrote the article called Common Sense, okay? Huh? Thank you, bro. Yep. And when he wrote that and then people read it, they were like, oh, shit, this kind of makes sense, right? So it goes into all this. Go those things, bro.
Put a pin in that, though.
Yeah.
You just said it, and I don't know if you even realize what you just said. He wrote something that was factually correct. People read it, absorbed it, and said, we need to make a change.
Correct.
Ta-da! That's what they're afraid of. That's what they're afraid of. Which is, history is damned to repeat itself. Shit, like, what are we talking about?
Bruh, they was against it till they read his thing, Common Sense. Yep. And I mean, all across, and they were like, this makes more than any orator, more than anything else, more than the taxes. More, I mean, those things were issues. Don't get me wrong. But there was still a lot of people still against it, right? But then when they read that, then they can start thinking of seeing a new country. They can start thinking of seeing we can change stuff. We can, and that's the beauty of watching this, all right? Because that, going back to what you said about history repeating itself, think about even in your situation, and when I say you, I'm talking about anybody's, where wherever you are today, you may think you're stuck. You may think that at the end of the day, I'm only can do what I can do and this and that, or I'm afraid to do this because of this, that. And then eventually, things can change. You can, like, wait a minute. I can see a different outlook. I can see that it makes sense to stop working at this job and going somewhere else, or, you know, getting out of this industry and starting something new, or starting my own business, right? Because that's how we grow and we evolve. So it's all these nuances that come together that created the American Revolution, not just a Tea Party.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just, you know, to kind of encapsulate all this, it's disheartening when you are young and you're told these things and then you get older. And I'll get into what these things are real simple. And then you get older and you start to realize they weren't talking about me. I'm speaking of myself. This is my own testimony. So this land is your land. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island. They weren't talking about Chris Reed. The redlining showed me they weren't talking about me. The Trail of Tears showed me they weren't talking about us. That was for a subset. And what they're trying to do is make sure we remember that, hey, don't get it twisted. When they said the land of the free, they weren't talking about you. And that's the toughest part, is that we've been taught. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought, but that one jump in.
That we've been taught that these things meant Americans, and we know that we're American, but now they're trying to say, not you.
Yeah, so and that's why I wanted you to finish, right? Yeah. So And you made a good, so let's take your point. You said, hey, they wasn't talking about me when they were saying this land is my land. They wasn't talking about me because I saw the Trails of Tears and I saw the Montgomery boycott and I saw all these different things that happened, you know, so they really wasn't talking about me. However, not because I know, I can still participate, all right? Because what you even though they wasn't talking about me, that's why they didn't want me to know, because that's if correct. I don't know, I can't push back.
That's correct.
Right? I can't push back. I can't say, wait a minute, this is mine. What are you talking about? I can do, I can go, I can do whatever I want. You see my point here? They don't want you to know, right? So my point is, let's just look at what you said. You said, hey, well, these songs, they wasn't really talking about me, right? But at the end of the day, because of Chris Reed went out and started making stuff happen, right? Because Chris Reed knows I live here and I can do what I want as long as now people are going to try to stop me, or they're going to try to create this and they're going to create that to try to come up with obstacles. But at the end of the day, I still live here and I can still live in the system. I can still be part of this system. Absolutely. All right. And still do for me and mine.
Absolutely. I have rights. I have
you rights. Have rights, right? But they don't want you to know that you had rights, all right? Because if you don't know you have rights, you ain't gonna act on the rights, right? Absolutely. And that's the issue, right? And so at the end of the day, when we don't want people to know that they were part of building this country, mm-hmm. right? Because then if they know that they're part of building this country, then they can start saying this is mine too, all right? So we can't have them in the story. Right. We got to eliminate them in the story, even though they're part, they're the fabric of the story. Fabric, they're just as much part of the story as you and I or whoever. You see my point here, man?
They was here when we got
flat out. I mean, so, look, bro. So you need to know. Right. I'm going to be a doctor in the single burden. You need what you need to know. You need to know today. Your ass is the story. All right. You're part of the story. Right. And you need to watch the story so you can learn more, not just about us, about everyone. And so I'm saying, man, again, we don't get no commission here for the PBS thing. Right. But at the end of the day, I would recommend everybody watch it. And at the end of the day, there's going to be things that you're going to be shocked by. There's going to be things that you're going to like, wow. There's things you're going to agree with, disagree with. But history is about learning, right? The whole truth, okay? And because when we learn the whole truth, we see it bigger than just using your word subset or byproducts of and this and that. You know, that every person was a part of building this country, even if they were in bondage, even if they were being chased off their land, all right? Even all those things, they still were a part of building this country.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's it in a nutshell, Tony. And that's what we try to impart, and hopefully this message resonates or at least chips away at what you thought. And once again, you famously say, don't believe me. Like my man with the mortgage situation. Don't believe me. No, my brother.
I didn't even argue with him, bro. Me. Here's the article. Saying, I ain't got the time to argue with your ass. I'm saying, right.
Go check for yourself, man. Go check. And I implore you to go check for yourself. Even with this documentary, look at this. But then also there's a myriad of things out there that will reinforce what you need to know. Back to what you say, highlighting the singer. But more importantly, regardless, consume the information because you do need to know it.
You have to, buddy. Your kids need to know. Everybody needs to know because that makes us stronger, right? Versus only a few people know that, and then we can manipulate them, right? Absolutely. But speaking of need to know, we want to remind everybody to check out on Thursday. Dr. Nasinga Burton, Need to Know, here on the Black Executive Perspective Podcast, where she dives into the timely and crucial topics that shape our world and our community. You're going to gain a lot of insight and deepen your understanding of the issues and matters you don't have time to watch, so you don't want to miss it. Need to Know by Dr. Nasinga Burton every Thursday here on the Black Executive Perspective Podcast.
And we love that you came here to kick it with us live, but we want you to double-click on the catalog and check out previous episodes and new episodes of Pull Up Speak Up. Don't miss the episode of Pull Up Speak Up, where we have a roundtable of panelists dive into hard-hitting topics. Every voice counts. Every perspective sparks change. You got to join this conversation, this call to action. Make sure that you tune into the revolution.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely the revolution, right? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, and Chris spoke to a little bit about this, right? For, you know, if you are the first time watching or listening to a Black Executive Perspective podcast, we have a call to action, and we're asking everyone to, you know, take up arms to this call to action, which is called LESS, L-E-S-S. We're looking to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to do that, we're asking everyone to incorporate LESS. Kick us off, Chris. And
the L is for learn. Educate yourself on cultural, social, political, racial nuances. Because anytime that you have exclusive policies, you're creating supremacist activities.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which my boy spoke about earlier, which is empathy. Now, since you've learned, right, this is why they don't want you to learn, because now since you've learned, you can be more empathetic to people that you're not familiar with, because now you can put yourself in their shoes.
The first S is for share. This is why we do this. This is why we come to you live every Tuesday. This is why we have things on our platform, because we want to share our insights and enlighten others. To make this a more perfect union, you have to be informed. And we're trying to share what we have with you and hope that you share what you have with us.
There's no question. The final S is stop. We want everyone to do this. Stop discrimination as it walks in your path. And it's simple. It is so simple, and we all have control over this. It's as simple as if Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something that's inappropriate at the Sunday dinner table, instead of looking shocked or giggling, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we do not believe in that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone, and I mean everyone, can incorporate LESS, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And we all, and I'm including all, will see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
We appreciate you tuning in with us today. We appreciate you checking out the things that we have out there on the catalog. We want you to go to the website. We want you to sign up for the newsletter, The Monthly Perspective.
The Monthly Perspective.
It's hot. It's hot. Hottest thing smoking. Make sure that you review us and subscribe. Let us know what you want to speak about or hear about on here, and join us. And make sure that you reach out. Tony, where can they find us?
My friend, you can find a Black Executive Perspective podcast, obviously right here on YouTube, but also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please follow us on our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at a Black Exec. From my boy down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed, which I want to wish my man a happy Thanksgiving, okay? Because I know they're going to be eating them, especially down in Dallas. They got the Cowboys coming on, who had a big win. They beat the Eagles last week, right? But I know you a Baltimore
Ravens fan.
They beat the Jets, right? But more importantly, I wish
we do it in letters, not numbers.
Exactly. But more importantly, I want to wish my brother and his family a happy Thanksgiving. I know they're going to be doing stuff together and stuff of that nature. And we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, because, you know, at the end of the day, we all, no matter what, and that's why Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, is my favorite holiday, I should say, because it's really about getting together with family, you know, cooking up some victuals, and everybody just looking and saying what they are thankful for. And no matter what your circumstances, right, you got something to be thankful about. Don't, and also check out our latest episode that just came out today by our partner, president of CODEM, Brad Bowling, and hear this Thanksgiving story. That's why we released it, because what he went through and what he's going, and how he's dealing with it now. Oh my God. And so we wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with your family. Again, no matter what you got going on, you got something to be thankful about. So we talked about it today. We screamed about it. We laughed about it. We really focused on the history about it, but regardless, we love you. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.